There's no real simple or easy answer here. For some of them, it was a sort of vague sense of anger about life in Russia and about their own lives, about the poverty of the peasants, about the many limitations that still existed on freedom, about the inadequacies of the great reforms as these began to emerge, about the backwardness of their society, the same sort of embarrassment that intellectuals had often felt before. For some, quite frankly, it was about excitement. It was about thrills. Many of these young students were not as high-minded as the intelligentsia of Herzen or Belinsky's generation. But many had very concrete ideas, very concrete goals about what they were trying to achieve, shaped by reading, just as it was for Herzen and Belinsky and his generation, but also by the growth of a liberal movement, liberal ideas, and even by the state's own efforts at reform. One way of getting at what these ideas were is to look at some of the publications, the manifestos, the pamphlets, all, of course, produced illegally, that appeared, especially in 1861, 1862, a great high point of that movement in the very wake of the first great reform, the ending of serfdom. These are very different, but I want to mention a couple of them to give you an idea of the type of ideas that were inspiring these students. For example, a relatively moderate brochure, sort of really more of a manifesto, one best described as essentially liberal, was one that went under the name of Great Russia. This called for wider reforms than were being planned, it appeared, by Alexander II. In particular, it called for creating an elected legislature with legislative powers. In other words, what increasingly would be called crowning the edifice of the great reforms. It called for a true constitution, which would, as they said in this manifesto, allow the government to be in touch with the living forces of the country. A popular phrase meant to indicate the sense among many educated Russians, and certainly these students, that there was a civic life that was increasingly alive, full of ideas, kept out of having any influence over the way the state was run. And finally, something that was becoming increasingly important to many of these young protesters, freedom for Poland. Everything about Russian imperialism offended them, but control over Poland, which really was created in Catherine the Great's time, was the most troubling. Here was a clearly independent country, or a country of its own, a nation with its own language, that was ruled like a colony. Not only that, the Polish movement of independence was strong and was about not only national independence, but also civil liberties, and they supported this. Another example, a more radical one, was called to the young generation, and note the focus on the young. The old aren't to be talked to anymore. They won't understand. This was written by students, and it was printed, interestingly enough, by a member of the old generation, by Herzen in London. Hence, it could be printed in large numbers and circulated. In fact, the group of students who went to see Herzen later recalled going to him just like a Muslim's pilgrimage to Mecca. They had felt they had gone to the heart of the history of the intelligentsia, to the sanctuary of the prophet. They smuggled these back to Russia in the summer of 1861, and these were distributed by students. And the message was simple but vague. The only vital forces in the country were peasants, the intelligentsia, and especially young students. In other words, not, notice, the traditional leading estates in the country, not the nobles and not the clergy. Monarchy was absolutely unnecessary, and it should be replaced by a republic based in a peculiar way that was never quite explained on peasant communes. Like the Slavophiles, they admired this natural communalism of the Russian people. And in fact, they argued the whole economy should be created as some vaguely defined socialist economy based on cooperatives everywhere, rural and urban cooperatives. An even more radical manifesto was one called Young Russia. Again, the focus on youth. It came out in 1862, and it was written by a student who'd been expelled from Moscow University, a guy named Pyotr Zaychnevsky. Politically, this called for Russia to be a decentralized federation, virtually no state whatsoever. Economically, the country should be run on the basis of self-governing communes. Also, there should be free education. It wasn't clear who would pay for that since the state was to be rather minimal. Absolute equality for women, and the right of all nationalities to simply leave the Russian Empire and be free.